he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark as usual, and we've got a guest, Miss Gemma Dryborough. How are we, Gemma?
Yeah, doing very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on and taking the time. Obviously, busy schedule. You're back over in America at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, just go back here on Sunday. So, yeah, a few days in. So, tournament starts on Thursday.
Lovely stuff. And you've just got back from the Rose Ladies series, I believe. You played there last week.
Yes, played there last Thursday. So that was, yeah, great fun to be back on the Rose Series. Obviously, won a couple of them last year. So they mean a lot to me and kind of got my season started last year quite well. So it was great to go back and support the events. And hopefully I can play a few more this year.
Yeah, definitely. They've got some good venues coming up, haven't they? I know there's a couple in Scotland. Is there one in Scotland or a couple in Scotland? And there's a couple.
One at Scots Craig just before the Scottish Open. I think there's also a spot into the Scottish Open from it. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's amazing stuff, yeah.
Have you had any of the fellas asking you for any tips of how to play St. George's?
They haven't actually. They probably should. I played quite well there. That's a good point, actually.
So basically what we do on these podcasts is we get like guests on and we just try and inspire the younger generation and like learn the journeys, obviously how you've got to where you are now and basically how it all started and like sort of take any insights from your career and your trials and tribulations. And we just sort of have a general chat with it all, really.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds good to me.
How did it all get started for you then with golf? Why golf?
Well, my dad got me into it initially. Probably started swinging a club at like 4 years old, so pretty young. And yeah, just used to go to the driving range with him and then play nine holes here and there. And then we used to play whenever we went on holiday as well. I played football as well, so kind of played golf, football, bit of basketball, did tennis. So I did a few other sports as well. But golf was always there and always really enjoyed golf. And then kind of got a handicap when I was about 12. And that's kind of when I started playing competitions and junior events and stuff, and got into the county team eventually, and kind of went from there, really.
Yeah, was it always golf for you? You say you mentioned other sports there, or would you always want to be a professional?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a professional at some sport. I think when I was growing up, football was my favourite sport, and I kind of wanted to kind of pursue that more than golf initially. But I kind of realised at the time, especially, there was a lot more opportunities in golf for women. It's kind of obviously changing now with the football, which is good. But yeah, I'm glad I chose golf. Let's just say that.
And what's your team?
Manchester United.
See you later.
Shouldn't have opened that mouth.
What I've noticed there, you said you started at 4 and we had Charlie Hunt. She said she started at 2. It seems like the girls start a lot younger than the men. Noticed that,
yeah. That's interesting, yeah. I don't know why that would be, but I started very young. I remember having plastic clubs and little plastic balls that I used to hit. I don't know. That's an interesting one, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Saying that, though, I've got a daughter. She's 4, and I've just started taking her to the driving range now. So
there we go. That's maybe what it's is, the fathers. That. The dads are trying to get their daughters into it straight away.
Yeah. I'll take the kids out, love.
Yeah.
Enemy brownie points for the beers of the weekend, I think.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
So then going from there, you made county level. How did the golf progress from there then?
So county, and then eventually got into the Scottish team, played a lot of European teams, European individuals, and then eventually got to play the World Am with Scotland, and played the South American amateurs as well with Scotland. So yeah, had some great opportunities with that. And then I went over to the States. Initially, I actually went when I was 15 I went to IMG Academy. It's like a sports academy.
Oh yeah.
So I went there for golf at 15 and finished off high school there, and did like half the day golf and half the day school. It was perfect, really, and kind of got me ready for, I wanted to go to the States for university, so I was able to get a scholarship to Tulane University, and then did 4 years of college golf over there, and yeah, and then I turned pro. So that's kind of how it kind of went.
How did you find that whole experience in America?
Yeah, I loved it. It was a great experience, like obviously playing with some great players over there, and you kind of just open your kind of golfing mind to different kind of courses, different grasses, just more experience really, which was great. I look back on that time with fond memories.
Yeah, definitely. And I know obviously some people stay, some people go over to America. If you would have stayed in Scotland compared to going to America, do you think you would have got the same opportunities?
I don't think so. America gave me weather as well, which is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Playing all year and kind of traveling around dates as well, playing different courses. And you're playing, you know, all year, which is great. And then just meeting as well, like the girls you meet at, you know, at college, kind of the same girls that eventually go to turn pro. And then so then you make good friends when you do turn pro. You know a lot of the girls already, which I think was a really big thing for me, because I know a lot of girls that maybe didn't go to university in the States and kind of come over to America, play on the LPGA or Symetra, and they don't really know anyone initially, and it can be quite a bit of a difficult transition. So that kind of, for me, that really helped, kind of knowing a lot of girls already. So that makes you more comfortable already when you're playing over here. Yeah. So I think that was a big thing for me.
Do you know when you said that you went to high school, so the year are you going there? Like you're finishing off your GCSEs or after that?
Around that time, yeah. So I was, it was the last 2.5 years of high school.
And you were living out there on your own, like, or did your whole family go?
No, so I'm an only child, so my mum came with me and my dad kind of came back and forth. So it was nice to have them, because usually, yeah, most of the kids do boarding school at IMG. So, it would have been quite young, I guess, to go over there by yourself.
No, I was thinking that, yeah. Definitely. But it's just that's another bit of like irony, because we had Ewan Ferguson on and he said that he finished his high school and he's from Scotland and finished his high school in America. And I've like never heard of anyone doing that. And then I've got another one and from Scotland.
It was actually, I think Carly Booth was the first one we'd heard that went to IMG, and that's kind of how we heard about IMG. So that's when I kind of went over there for a few like week camps, and then just to see if I liked it. So, and then kind of went from there.
And I can see you played in the Curtis Cup as well. Talk to us a bit about that. What was that whole experience like as an amateur?
Yeah, that's definitely the highlight of my amateur career. It was just an amazing, I mean, I think, unless you get to the kind of Solheim or Ryder Cup, I think that's probably the pinnacle of, you know, the nerves you feel as a pro or as an amateur. And even now, I don't think I've ever been that nervous. I couldn't feel my legs on the first tee. They were numb. Yeah. It was just a great experience. And a lot of those girls that played on both teams are out on the LPGA now or playing on LET. So it's just great to look back on those pictures and videos and stuff. So I had quite a fun ending to my singles match. So it's great to kind of look back on that and, you know, take the memories. And a lot of my good friends are from those teams as well.
Yeah, well, talk us through that end, and then we're obviously not familiar with what happened.
Yeah, so I was 2 up going down 17 and lost 17. So I was pretty gutted about that. I was like, oh, I should have finished it off. Yeah. But in the end, it actually was a good thing that I didn't, because it ended up, so we were both down the fairway on 18. And the weird thing was, I hadn't been down 18 since like the practice rounds, because just the way the match play worked, I hadn't been down 18. And so my caddy's like, he's shot the pin with a laser, and it's kind of, you can't really, it's a blind green, so you can just see the top of the flag. And he's obviously shot the top of the hill instead of the flag. And I've got a 9-iron in my hand. I'm like, okay, perfect. So I'm about to hit this shot, and he's like, stop. I've got it wrong. So he's obviously realized that's not, there's no way that's a 9-iron. So it was actually supposed to be a 6-iron.
Wow.
So thankfully I didn't hit it, because I would have been in this massive bunker at the front of the green. I hit it on the green and then sank a 30-footer for a birdie. And there was all the crowds around the green and they all kind of went crazy, which was was a cool moment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It could have been so the opposite though, couldn't it? Yeah,
that's, I know, it could have been devastating. It'd have been awful.
So you mentioned there, obviously after your college, you turned professional. Did you come back over to the UK as a professional, or did you try it out in America first? Talk through the whole transitional period. Yeah.
So I did both LAT Q School and LPGA Q School my as soon as I turned pro. So I got my full card on LAT, and then I got Symetra status on for that first year, my rookie year.
Yeah.
So I played mainly LAT, and I think five Symetra events that first year. So I played mainly in Europe, which was great. I think amazing experiences, and look back on that with really good memories, and kind of learned a lot from that. Just traveling, you know, you travel with other girls, but you're out there without a college coach with you, organizing your travel and all that. So it's a learning curve. And then, so I did 2 years on the full time on LAT, and then got my LPGA card in for the 2018 season.
Brilliant. So what type of team did you have around you? You got everything set up really for you in the college system in America. So when you do turn pro, are you quite isolated? Does it go and do everything on your own, or was you still getting support from the university?
No, you're kind of just left to your own devices, which is, I had a bit of help from my parents here and there, but other than that, you just kind of have to do everything yourself, which is a bit of a transition. I think that's the biggest thing when I say to, you know, college kids or that are just finishing, like you have to be prepared for that, because when you're in at university, like everything's planned for you and you just show up at the tournament and play golf and that's it. But there's a lot more to it on tour.
Yeah. And was it self-funded then first year, was it?
I had one sponsor in Aberdeen, and that really helped, because obviously Q School is very expensive, and just expenses in general add up. So that was good. And then my golf club has helped me out a lot, especially starting out. So they kind of set up a fund, and a lot of the members put in money, which was great.
You hear that a lot. You do hear that a lot, don't you? The golf and community comes together, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. If you can get just a lot of people kind of to put in, you know, a small amount, it really adds up. So that was a huge, huge help for me.
That's it, because we're hearing a lot on this professional route, for like anyone listening, that like money seems to be the, no matter to the talent that they've got, the money seems to always creep in to be the issue, whether you're, even when you're on the European tour coming down or on the way up, it's like, it's all about having that backing and having the belief in yourself as well.
It is, yeah. It can take a lot of, if you can get sponsorship when you first start, or your golf club or whatever you can get, it just takes a lot of weight off your back, like you said, because you're obviously playing for money now, and it helps if that money can, you know, actually be profit instead of going all to your expenses. So yeah, it can really be helpful.
So talk us through, you said obviously the first season on the LET, you learnt a lot. What were the main learnings that you got from that whole experience there?
I think course management was big for me. I learned a lot at university, but I think when you're out there with I had a caddy and kind of learning all that, I think even having a caddy was different. Like that kind of dynamic as well. You want to find someone that you gel with, which I did, thankfully. So that I've been very lucky with caddies, thankfully. But yeah, it's just kind of a transition in that way. And like every shot counts. So like, you obviously realize that in amateur golf, but in professional golf, you're like, you really notice it. It just over a season, and every shot really can count. So you just never give up and just keep going.
Shots cost you money, don't they, at the end of the day?
That's it. Yeah. And it all adds up at the end of the year, because obviously you want to keep your card, or, you know, finish in a certain position to make in the majors or anything like that. So it all adds up.
No, definitely. We've seen there that you played on the ALPG over in Australia in, what was that, in 2016-17?
Yes, that's right.
How did that come about? Did you just decide you wanted to change, or?
So basically, their tournaments are always at the start of the year, and they kind of they can get you into like the Aussie Open, the Vic Open, and there's some LAT events that are played over there as well, the Bonneville event and the New South Wales Open. So it's a good way to like get out of the UK in January and get away from the crappy weather and get over there into some sun. So it was just a good way to kind of warm up my season and kind of get out there and experience some new courses and just get playing, really. So I got my first pro win over there in 2017. Well
done, yeah. See that?
Yes. So that was great.
What was that like? Talk us through that event.
Yeah, it was really good. I think they used to have, I don't know if they used to have, I know Lydia Cole won an event there, but it's a nice course, Oatlands. It's just outside Sydney. So just it was actually a kind of pro-am event. Obviously, like, you know, the pro event is all stroke play, but yeah, it was two rounds and I think I won by one or two. I can't quite remember, but it was a great feeling. And I remember, I think it was my dad's, it was around my dad's birthday, I'm pretty sure. So it was a good birthday present for him.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's great. I was actually just trying to work in my mind because I think I might have played at Oakland when I, because I lived in Australia for 5 years. I think we actually went out to that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago anyway, but well done on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's so good memory.
After that, you're going out there in 2016-17. Is that like a yearly occurrence that you're going to start doing, or is it, obviously you can't do it this year? But
yeah. Yeah, no, I always go. I think this is the first year I haven't gone actually since I turned pro. But yeah, so it's last year. Can't remember if that's how I got into the 2 years ago. I definitely, because that when I won then in 2017, that got me into the Australian Open, which was actually my first ever LPGA event. So it's a really great way to kind of get into those events, and kind of I did well in those events last year. So when we eventually do get to go to Australia, I'll be in the Aussie Open and the Vic Open again. So that'll be great.
Yeah, and what was that like taking a step into the top tour then at that point?
Yeah, it was, I mean, quite intimidating at first because like you're seeing all these players that you've kind of looked up to and seen on TV and followed and stuff for years. So it's kind of an adjustment, especially that next year when I got on the LPGA. It was kind of like sometimes you think, oh, do I deserve to be here? Which is silly because you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, initially that's kind of when you're new out there, it's like, oh wow, this is a bit bigger.
Well, how did that first season go then when you get your card on the LPGA?
I struggled a bit, to be honest. It was an adjustment. But yeah, I've kind of obviously got a lot more comfortable now after that season and learned a lot from that. And you just got to keep going really and keep believing in yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. You know what? We've had a couple of people who like make the jump over to America, but then they still love home. So like, but the money is sort of better in America. Like, and you, the way you're splitting your time, is that something that you're going to plan to do in the future, or just going to sort of see how it goes?
I always love to come to Europe and play again. Like you said, though, the money is better over here, and yeah, it's hard to say no to that, really. So I think, and all the better players over here, and you kind of want to put yourself in that position, so, and play in the majors and all that. So if you can get over here, I'd say it's the place to be. But I definitely do like to go back home and, you know, play in Europe. It's kind of feel comfortable, really comfortable there, and it's just it's a friendly tour, and always feels nice to go back there and play those events. So I like to play as much as I can when I go back to Europe.
Yeah,
it's amazing that the LPGA tour, it shows where it's come from. It's like it's matching the men's European tour for money, yeah, now, isn't it?
So it is. Apart from, I guess, the Rolex events, it's pretty similar.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, it's going in the right direction for sure.
Definitely. No, it's great to see. It really is. Yeah. So we've talked about the transition there then into the LPGA tour and how that's gone and the way things are going. And obviously we were hit by COVID, weren't we? Which obviously then opened up opportunities with the Rose Ladies series, and obviously got two wins there.
Yeah, we were hitting into the garden for 7 weeks, and then we got news. Well, originally it would be one event at Brockenhurst Manor. Liz Young, we were just going to put money in the pot and kind of play for that. But then obviously I think the Roses got involved and it became a whole series. So it was just great to have an opportunity to play in something when we hadn't had anything. So yeah, obviously got two wins in that, and then yeah, so it was just a great way to kind of the restart of the season almost. I got a lot of confidence from it, and obviously great run events and amazing courses as well.
Was that what happened? Was it? Well, it wasn't meant to be a thing, and then you were just going to play, and then Justin Rose and Thingo got involved.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yeah, I think Liz Young. I think Liz Young was interviewed or something, got in the Telegraph somehow, and I think Kate maybe picked up on it, and then kind of it went from there. Really, it was originally just going to be, I think, 20 odd of us or 30 maybe, we're gonna play for our, you know, just put our money in the pot and just kind of play for it, just to have something to do. But then it kind of just went from there, and now it's going again this year, which is great.
Well, it's definitely worth entering, isn't it? £10,000 first prize for one day.
Yeah, it's good money for one day's work.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
yeah, really good.
Didn't I think Liz won, Young won the last one, didn't as well, didn't she, just then?
She got beaten.
She won the one at Woburn.
Woburn,
yeah.
That's
and then, it, yeah. She lost in the playoff against Becky last week.
Yeah.
She's done well out of it, hasn't she, since she started it?
Yeah, she deserves it. I mean, it's all down to her.
From the Symetra to the LPGA, do you notice a big step up in caliber? I know you said you've struggled a bit like last year and the year before, but do you notice the jump?
Yeah, so the Symetra is it's really good, actually. The standard's great, but obviously, yeah, the step up to the LPGA is that bit better, and just the fields are anyone can win really every week. So the standard's really good. But yeah, the Symetra's getting better every year, the caliber, the players and the tour. So and their money's going up as well, which is great to see as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing some projection thing on the money of that, it does look like it's gonna start rising.
Yeah.
And I believe you just signed a lucrative deal with a shoe manufacturer, is that right?
It's not quite lucrative, but okay. I'm getting free shoes.
There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, they're a sustainable shoe brand. And I'm excited to see where it goes. The shoes are made out of sustainable materials, completely recyclable. And I think they're going to be moving into clothes as well. So yeah, it's exciting to see. And I played golf with the CEO last week. So it was great to meet him in person. Finally, yeah. And it's exciting stuff. So it's just good to kind of make, even though it's small, like it's good to make some sort of, you know, good thing for the planet and the environment, and kind of do your part.
So yeah. What are they like, the shoes?
So I haven't actually got them yet. I've just signed with them the last month or so. So I've just seen pictures of them, but I'm excited to wear them. I know they're coming out with a even better version next month. So yeah, I'm excited to try them.
And what's the name again?
Hilo.
Hilo.
H-Y-L-O. Yeah, Hilo.
Lovely. We'll check them out.
Sustainable. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they do check them out, yeah.
Men's shoes as well?
They do. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, men's and women's. So nice. Yeah, check them out.
We'll have to give them a try.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's the future for Gemma Driver then? What's on the schedule this year? And obviously you're in America, you've got a tournament this week, you're on the LPGA tour. What is it, are you looking, setting your sights on the Solheim Cup this September?
I mean, that's one of my dreams, is to play on the Solheim, and a huge goal of mine. Obviously we'll need to kind of have a few good results to qualify for this year. But you know, anything's possible. And Katrina's the captain, so you never know. Yeah. Might get a pick. Yeah. Bill Scott.
Give her some high-low shoes. She might twist her arm.
Yeah, there we go. Can bribe her. Yeah, but it'd be great to be a part of the team. But if not, then the next one in Spain would be an amazing one, to another goal of mine to hopefully get on the team. So it'd be amazing.
And is it a full card you've got this year? Are you playing in all the events on the LPGA?
So it kind of depends how I do this week. See if I can get in the reshuffle and kind of improve my status. So if not, I'll maybe play a few Symetra events. But so we'll see how this week goes.
Yeah.
So how long is this stint in America now then that you've got?
I'm not 100% sure. It kind of depends on this week. So it depends how I go this week, and I can make more of a plan. But I should be home, I think, in July time, July, August, hopefully.
How is the traveling being like? Because with the restrictions and all that, is it been a bit of a nightmare, or have you been all right with it?
International travel is really quite calming, actually, compared to normal, because there's 48 people in economy on my flight over. So everyone's got a row to themselves and lots of space. And Heathrow's, well, I think it's probably busier now that a bit of travel's opened up. But
yeah,
it's been quite quiet. But in America, it's like nothing's going on. It's like normal. Mm-hmm. The flights are busier. And so it's a bit interesting. But the COVID testing's been, obviously, that sometimes a bit of a pain, trying to make sure you get the right, you know, 72 hours before you fly. It can be a bit stressful. Making sure you get it in time and all that. But I've thankfully been vaccinated, got the jab over here. So I think that's the testing's going to, I think we're going to find out soon if we have to still test or not. So we'll see.
Well, Zay, we won't take up too much more of your time. What else? What, anything more to say?
So yeah, I know you've played in two majors, haven't you? The PGA and the Open. What were their whole experiences like?
Yeah, so played three now. So two PGAs and one Open. That's okay. But yeah, amazing experiences. I mean, the Open last year, it was obviously like growing up being, you know, from Britain, and you kind of always want to play the Open, don't you? So played it at Troon last year. The weather was brutal. three or four club wind. But it wouldn't be that without the, you know, being the Open and everything. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the fans weren't there. My parents couldn't watch at the Open last year, so that was a shame. But
it would have been nice for you in Scotland as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been nice. Yeah. So that was a shame, but it's still a great experience. And the PGA championships were amazing as well. We played at Hazeltine, my first one. It's just that kind of that amazing, everything just feels bigger and better at those majors. So yeah, just great memories. Hopefully can play in a few more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, look, we wish you the best of luck. As Kev said, you're obviously preparing for a tournament this week, so we appreciate you taking the time speaking to us. And obviously, we don't want to take up too much more of your time. It's a great journey. You're just getting started as a professional, so we do wish you the best of luck in tournaments to come, especially this week.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys.
We've got one more actually. If you're in October, if you're home and you're about, we've got a golf day on, the Bogey Boys Golf Day, and we've asked all our guests to be a part of it. So.
That would be great. Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, if you send me the details, I'll try and be there.
We'll send it over.
Definitely.
Yeah, perfect.
Look, Gemma, good luck this week and good luck for the rest of the season. And again, appreciate you taking the time to speak to us, and great having a chat with you.
Yeah, no, thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right, then. Will you take care?
Yeah, you guys too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.